Welcome to the podcast service of the Massachusetts Climate Action Network. Visit us online at massclimateaction.net or friend us on Facebook.
Hi, and welcome to the Climate Minute, your source for insight and perspective on global warming news. My name is Ted McIntyre, and this show is for the week of August 15th, 2016. Today we're joined by our frequent guest, the prolific commentator, Mr. D.R. Tucker. How are you doing, D.R.?
Doing good. How are you doing?
Good, good, good. So, D.R., everyone has heard of a guy named Albert Gore, who ran for president one time and then won a Nobel Prize and an Oscar. He's also a climate activist, an outspoken climate activist, and for many years during the early part of this millennium, this century, he was routinely mocked and abused for the fact that he sometimes flew in jets, even while he was a climate advocate. Al Gore's a big boy. I mean, he's got a lot of protection. He still probably has civil service protection, so he's not too worried. But recently it's come to light that that same kind of mockery and personal attack has been levied against a guy who's much closer to our world, a guy named Bill McKibben. I've read somewhere that an organization has taken it upon itself to videotape Bill McKibben every time he steps out his front door in order to find evidence of his hypocrisy with respect to fighting climate change and basically embarrass the man. Did you see anything about that?
Yes, McKibben wrote an interesting op-ed for the New York Times a few days ago talking about this organization known as America Rising, it was basically created in the ashes of the Mitt Romney presidential campaign, and it's decided to go after McKibben and Tom Steyer to basically, you know,
remind me who Tom Steyer is.
Tom Steyer, who is in the environmental activist who played a critical role in protecting cap and trade in California after an effort by the fossil fuel industry to destroy cap and trade in California.
And Steyer is also a very well-to-do entrepreneur. He's a rich man, basically.
Yes. So essentially what McKibben was describing was essentially the experience of being profiled by the hypocrisy police who are ever filming him to see if they can see him getting out of a gas-guzzling car or if he has plastic bags instead of recycling. Reusable bags, and basically just generally being a general bother and an annoyance and a pest. He notes that even though this is not the equivalent of, you know, police brutality or the sort of a murders of climate activists in other countries, it is sort of, you know, an attempt at intimidation somebody who's just simply exercising his First Amendment rights to express his views on government policy.
Yeah, I completely agree. I agree that the this is basically I think it's America Rising Advanced Research is some sort of an opposition group spin out of America Rising that's doing this work, and they're well financed by people who, of course, can't be named because they don't have to reveal who is giving money to these PACs, but. They are, as you say, trying to intimidate an outspoken individual through character assassination. And I agree, it's an outrage that needs to be named and shamed, I guess, is the only way people should know that this is happening to Bill McKibben, and he doesn't deserve it, and it's a terrible thing.
It certainly was. There were a number of interesting reactions online in the comment sections of the piece from some you know really nasty folks basically enjoying the fact that he's being scrutinized in this way, and others who are basically making the point that, you know, sometimes you have to give your tormentors a taste of their own medicine. And that particular argument, I have to admit, resonated with me because it echoes something that occurred a few years ago with Bill Moyers of PBS, who had been scrutinized in a similar way by one of the producers for the Fox News channel, and decided to turn the tables by beginning to scrutinize with a camera the same tormentor and basically gave him a taste of his own medicine. And I couldn't help wondering why McKibben and Steyer don't try to do the same thing. Because, you know, the thing about bullies is that when you stand up to them, they tend not to like it. We all grew up having to deal with bullies. Mm-hmm. And I never recall being told that, you know, with all due respect to McKibben, I never recall being told that the way to deal with a bully was to write an op-ed in the New York Times about it. I was told that the way to deal with a bully was to stand up to that bully, punch the bully square in the jaw, and knock the bully on his rear end. So I couldn't help wondering why this should not be the reaction. And we can also compare it to another issue that's going on involving Roger Ailes, another guy who is an ideological kin to the people going after McKibben, who bullied people, as we know, and somebody stood up to him, a woman by the name of Gretchen Carlson, and other women who stood up to him and pushed back. And as a result, Roger Ailes was forced out of the Fox News channel. So it goes to the point that, you know, when you have these attempts at intimidation, the only way to really deal with these things is to stand up and in some cases give the bully a taste of his own medicine and see how he likes it.
Well, I guess I have more... I mean, I don't know how I would react. I mean, Bill McKibben is, from all accounts and from all presentation, a mild-mannered guy. I think that it probably has crossed his mind. I mean, he describes walking down the street and having people in front of him turned around backwards, videotaping him as he's walking down. I mean, that's...
See, I'd hope they trip.
Well, maybe. But I mean, I think that McKibben may be mild-mannered enough to not want to engage in that kind of... I don't know, tit for tat kind of, because, you know, I was thinking that, I remember when Bernie Madoff, Bernie Madoff, terrible, terrible guy, right? I have no sympathy for Bernie Madoff, but he was in some sort of scrum with photographers back in the day, whatever it was, 2006, 2007. Mm-hmm. And they were videotaping, and there was one photographer that reached into the crowd and punched Madoff. So that he reacted and looked at the guy with an angry face, and bam, they took the picture of him, right? Mm-hmm. So I can only imagine they would like it if a guy like Bill McKibben got angry at the camera, because then they could show a scowl. But I think the other thing to say is that I do agree with you that the bully needs to be stood up to, but I'm not sure it's Bill McKibben's job. I think the rest of us need to support Bill McKibben and somehow make it known that this insult is happening. I mean, I think that people listening to this podcast should know. They should. I mean, I don't particularly know what you can do, but except tell people this is a terrible thing that is being done to someone who doesn't deserve it. I mean, no one wants to have their life ruined by being videotaped all the time.
But what you just said, that no one wants to be videotaped all the time and have their life ruined, goes precisely to my point about, you know, turning the tables on these sorts of characters. And it also goes to the issue of the questionable effectiveness of this sort of a strategy of trying to police people for hypocrisy, because, you know, this is something that Sean Hannity, also of Fox, has been trying to do for years, trying to, you know, expose Gore as a hypocrite, trying to expose Leonardo DiCaprio as a hypocrite. But it doesn't stop them. It doesn't stop the level of support they receive from the public. It has not stopped the rising numbers of people who agree with Gore and DiCaprio that we have a problem. And it has not done anything to strengthen Hannity, who is now himself, as we know, being attacked as a fool by other members of his tribe, tribe, like Brent Stevens of the Wall Street Journal. So it goes to show you the desperation and the fact that, and as a number of people in the comment sections of the piece noted, that the people who are doing this sort of stuff know damn well they're losing.
I think that,
and they don't like it.
I think you've touched on something that's very important, and I think that Bill McKibben, in his, I guess, the Rolling Stone piece, touched on it as well. Mm-hmm. It basically, so the whole central argument of the people that are videotaping Bill McKibben is that he is hypocritical and that he is also using fossil fuels, right? Mm-hmm. And what a terrible thing for an advocate, a climate hawk, to use fossil fuels. Mm-hmm. And Bill McKibben puts in the piece, he says, hypocrisy is the price of admission to this problem. Mm-hmm. That everyone, the most devoted people, are forced to use fossil fuels just by being in the United States. Right, and this idea that you can live in a cave, right, and go to sleep when the sun goes down. I mean, that's not fair because it's. I mean, you're part of a matrix. But the whole question, I mean, it's an interesting question, is posed by the stalkers, is the question of personal virtue. And we all agree. I mean, everyone, we've on this podcast advocated for people to. Minimize their carbon footprint, but is that enough? Or if you don't do that to an extreme, does that mean you're a hypocrite? Or is it that is climate change a systemic problem that needs to be addressed at a systemic as system level, so that the entire fossil fuel culture can be shifted?
I cannot recall if it was Chris Hayes or Wynn Stevenson, but I do recall it was in The Nation magazine a couple of years ago making the comparison between climate activists and abolitionists. And the writer, whether it was Hayes or Stevenson, made the point that there were abolitionists who did wear clothing made with the cotton picked by slaves, but that didn't make them hypocrites. They were trying to change a system into which they were born and try to make that system better. And it just goes to sort of the desperation of the hypocrisy argument that, just because somebody who's a member of 350 gets on a plane doesn't make them a hypocrite. Right. I mean, again, there is a system that you're born into and you recognize a moral responsibility to change that system. The hypocrisy argument is this shows you how stupid the argument is. Think of all 9 of the justices in Brown versus Board of Education. Presumably, the majority of those justices themselves went to segregated schools. It's highly unlikely that they went to integrated schools, but nevertheless, they recognized the immorality of segregation. Were they hypocrites because they did not themselves go to integrated schools? Of course not. That argument is absurd. Right. And it's the same argument being made by the people harassing McKibben.
So I think, I mean, that's a point that should be made, that the hypocrisy argument is an empty one. Mm-hmm. I mean, I guess the other thing that is an aspect of this assault on Bill McKibben is the intentional intimidation of individuals. Mm-hmm. And now, of course, this goes across all kinds of political platforms, but I think particularly, I mean, the sort of climate deniers have been going after particular scientists. I mean, you and I have talked at some length about Mr. Lamar Smith, who is trying to intimidate attorneys general. And this is a case where the full power of the $1 million of, I don't know, some random brothers who have $1 billion in the bank and their last name begins with K. I mean, I can't say for sure. I mean, they have the money to do this without missing a beat and to ruin someone's life. Mm-hmm. And with the clear, not just ruin the quality of their life in the present, but with kind of the hope of assassinating their character. I mean, it's something that needs to be spoken about and recognized and condemned, and then further. So respond to that.
I was saying, this goes to the idea that in a political war, one cannot have political war, scientific war, whatever you want to call it. One cannot have sympathy for one's adversaries. And what I mean is that, you talk about the various efforts to go after people, scientists. Remember, one of the first scientists they went after was Ben Santer, who was one of the scientists involved with the second Intergovernmental Panel on Climate Change report. They harassed him to the extent that they actually busted up his marriage. Right. Now, if somebody, so when these guys find themselves in a position, when the people who perpetrate this sort of stuff find themselves in a position of humiliation or falling on their, or being hoisted on their own petard, you can't have any sympathy for them. And in fact, you should be quite happy when they make fools of themselves, whether it's Ailes or Hannity or any other these other sort of bad actors who are allies of the people who do this sort of stuff, when they find themselves falling flat on their face, when they find themselves having reduced contracts, this is what's going on with Rush Limbaugh, when they suffer as a result of their own actions, you really can't shed any tears for them, basically, because it's karma coming back on.
Yeah, what goes around comes around.
Damn
but,
right.
But I get, but I mean, the other part of the intimidation is that the America Rising Advanced Research, I mean, this group, I mean, I think part of the subtext of what they're trying to do is to basically chill the speech of other climate hawks, mm-hmm. right? If you have, you know, aspirations to talk about climate, mm-hmm. then you better be ready to have, you know, these people throw a couple hundred thousand dollars after somebody to follow you around for a few mm-hmm. years and videotape you. Are you ready to do that? Mm-hmm. Right? If you're a budding graduate student in climate studies, do you really want to go into climate and then get chased around? Or can you go find something more, you know, go into some other aspect of geoscience? I mean, that I think part of the subtext is to scare people away. And the only way out of that, again, is to recognize it, speak about it, and call it out.
I would argue that they are not going to intimidate people who recognize the moral need to win this fight. And in addition to the Ben Sander example, look at what they did to Tim DeChristopher. They threw Tim DeChristopher in prison for 2.5 years. But did he stop once he got out? Of course not. He got right back in there and continued the fight. I think the moral imperative to win this fight supersedes the power of intimidation.
Well, I would say that I just can only hope that you are correct, my mm-hmm. friend DR. I just, you know, I go on a rant, you know, regularly about things like this. But the idea that someone is walking backwards, videotaping Bill McKibben in the hope that he does something embarrassing so that all of a sudden the global warming, the whole effort to stop global warming will collapse, mm-hmm. you know, to the fantasy of some right-wing billionaire. Mm-hmm. It's beyond comprehension. And again, I just say it one last time, is that people need to know about it. And the more people, the transparency, the sunshine that comes in will make this noxious weed dry up, I hope.
Mm-hmm.
All right, DR, we will leave it there. We'll put up some links to some of the connections. There's various reports on this, but dear listener, keep your eyes open. I mean, this stuff is floating around in the media, probably won't go away, and we will look for Bill McKibben's brilliant riposte of a video on YouTube showing these guys, a la DR Tucker. DR's going to tweet him and help him send a few suggestions. Exactly. Anyway, you can find the links to most of what we talked about on at the blog. It's massclimateaction.org/blog. Please leave a comment. You can donate to MCAN there. It's always an important thing to do. You can find us on Facebook at @massclimateaction. Please share us with your friends so they can hear about it. You can listen to us directly on your smartphone using Stitcher or TuneIn Radio. You can find us on iTunes by searching for Massachusetts Climate Action Network. So we'll close where we always close, by saying that because we recognize the necessity of personal accountability for our actions, because we accept responsibility for building a durable future, because we believe it's our patriotic duty as citizens to speak out, we must insist that the United States put a price on carbon. Thank you very much for being here, DR.
Thanks.
Thanks to everyone for listening, and thanks to Bill McKibben for being such a stand-up guy. We'll talk to you all again next week. Bye-bye.
Thanks for being with us, and until next time, be green.
Very cool. Ha 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 ha.